I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts with the King, Scott Angle, Adam Ronis. My name is Tony Sicato. We're taking you up to 10 a.m. Eastern right here on FNTSY Radio. Getting you ready and getting you prepared the day after the Week 4 extravaganza, where it's kicked off with Julio Jones with a 300-yard wide receiving performance and Matt Ryan, 500 yards passing. Scott, which is more impressive, 300 receiving yards or 500 yards passing?
Oh, 300 receiving yards to me. It's something you just don't expect. I believe it was the highest in the modern era since Calvin Johnson caught over 300, total over 300 yards in 2013. You know, just to see that, it's, you know, 400-yard games are, you know, something we see often, but even have a 200-yard receiving game is so ultra-impressive that 300-yard receiving game is just like, it's jaw-dropping.
Adam, your thoughts on which one was the more impressive feat on this Sunday? Was it Julio Jones or Matt Ryan?
Well, Julio Jones, I mean, obviously I don't think we see either that often, but 300 yards for a wide receiver is just insane. So clearly I think the 300 yards was more impressive.
And then, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers delivered last night on Sunday Night Football. It was just a week ago. The Philadelphia Eagles absolutely crushed them and made them look anything but a stalwart fantasy team. And yet, the Steelers came out. Le'Veon Bell was back, 144 yards rushing, another 34 yards through the air. He had two touchdowns for Antonio Brown. We saw Sammy Coates get deep again. And Sammy Coates, Adam, may have pushed ahead in their battle to be the number two wide receiver in the Pittsburgh Steelers offense.
Yeah, it certainly appears that way. I like this guy in the preseason. Then we saw some of his inconsistencies. You know, really, though, he kind of is mainly a deep threat, but you know what? They're taking shots to him deep, and we've seen him have some success with some big plays. And yesterday, 13 points in a PPR league, and obviously, Le'Veon Bell back, that kind of opens things up. So, Eli Rogers was out with a toe injury. So, if there's anyone that I would take, it is Coates, but we know that this is going to be Antonio Brown a ton. Remember, that game wasn't close. If that was like a closer game, you would have seen Antonio Brown get fed. It'll be a lot of Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, but you have to feel better about Coates compared to the other Steeler wide receivers. We've all been waiting and trying to figure out who's going to be the number two. It'll probably be spread out among them. We did see Wheaton get a touchdown, but certainly Coates has come along a little bit here.
And, Scott, do you think having all these weapons back hurts the tight end, a former best Westerner, Jesse James, the quick draw guy?
I think he's going to have some role in the offense like we saw last night. I think he might be touchdown dependent. You know, he's not going to be, say, a top 13 fantasy tight end the rest of the way. I think these guys have defined roles in the offense. Antonio Brown is the everything guy. Sammy Coates is the deep target. Jesse James, you might see him in the red zone and maybe in, like, you know, stuff like third and four. So I think what we're seeing is defined roles for a lot of these guys.
He's too boom or bust. You can't rely on this guy. I mean, the targets are not there now. I mean, six targets the last 2 weeks. He has two touchdowns. 31 yards is his season high. Two catches in each game the last 2 weeks. It's just, you can't rely on that. There are just too many options at tight end right now that are better that you can't rely on Jesse James.
Yeah, he might be Cameron Brate North.
I think Brate has a little bit more of a role in his offense. They have less targets, and I also see Tampa Bay with their defense being so poor, playing from behind a lot. There are going to be weeks like yesterday with the Steelers, especially at home. Steelers play much better at home. Roethlisberger's home road splits are pretty stark, so there are going to be games where the Steelers look like world beaters like yesterday. So I just think I'd rather have Brate than Jesse James.
All right, how about Dwayne Allen East?
Dwayne Allen, man, what the hell's going on? This should be an offense that he should thrive in, tight end centric, and he's dropping passes again. He dropped a touchdown last week. So I'd still take Dwayne Allen over Jesse James.
And then, of course, we had a great, great performance from Bilal Powell in the game that Scott Angle was in attendance. Scott, are you the Bilal Powell good luck charm?
I don't think I'm a good luck charm for anything related to the Jets, which was a lot of fun.
You got him to move.
What?
You got him to move.
Yeah, that's good for them. You know, it's like I was mentioning that Adam,
did you get into any fights?
Early in the show, no.
No, no one bothered you?
They were too upset. Besides, there were there were a ton of Seahawk fans there. I would say 35% of the crowd was Seattle fans.
Well, I was leaving here because I do Sunday 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So as I was going back to Jersey, actually, no, it was in the morning then, seeing a lot of people on the way to the game. I actually did see some Seahawks fans.
There were a lot there yesterday. And in fact, you know, I was saying, you know, on Twitter, and I said earlier on the show this morning when we entered MetLife Stadium, I think they knew they were going to lose the game because they were handing out, like, white towels, you know, so for the fans to cry.
Was that to wipe away the tears or the poop?
Both.
Oh, okay.
I think. It played like poop. But this made in the Daily News, boy, he went off on the Jets this morning, Tony. He said they got beat. They got shredded to death by a one-legged quarterback, and their secondary couldn't cover residents of Del Boca Vista right now.
Jeez, why are they so rough on the Jets, man? How about yesterday we had Rex Ryan and the New England Patriots getting a fight before the game.
It worked.
They were mad that the Patriots were on their side of the field, and they got it done, 16-0. They go into Foxborough and get a victory from the New England Patriots. But fantasy-wise, the only story in that game was LeSean McCoy. He continues to be the only offense for people. But we do have a waiver wire segment coming up at 9:20 Eastern where Robert Woods, if he's on your rosters, is a guy worth consideration in that Buffalo passing game.
It's process of elimination at this point. Look, I don't think you want to invest heavily in the Bills passing game, but someone has to catch the football. And with Sammy Watkins on injured reserve, it looks like it's Woods, probably Woods and Clay. And obviously McCoy's the one guy here. You got to feel real good if you're a McCoy owner right now. He's had some tough matchups, and he's still produced. You know the volume is going to be there. 25 touches yesterday. I guess the biggest concern, if he continues to get this workload, will he be able to hold up over a season? We have seen him do it before. But, yeah, I mean, that was probably one of the surprising games of the day. I think the Patriots, you'll take 3-1 without Brady, especially in the way that they did it. But losing to the Bills at home, 16-0. I mean, remember the Bills just 2 weeks ago? Now all of a sudden they beat Arizona and New England.
That was the first time New England was shut out at home since 1993.
You know, Rex Ryan gets – look, they had a good defensive game plan. They really shut down Arizona. They confused the hell out of them. I mean, look, Jacoby Brissett obviously is a rookie. And Rob Gronkowski, man, boy, the Gronkowski owners, you probably had to play him, but he's not running a lot of routes. Why did they bring this guy back if he's not completely healthy? He was blocking a lot.
They're just getting him some on-field warm-ups for when Brady comes back next week.
Isn't that risky, though, with a hamstring injury?
True, but, they threw a lot to Martellus Bennett, but I think Gronkowski's value obviously has to shoot up starting next week.
Well, everybody for New England. I didn't feel good about using Julian Edelman yesterday or a lot of these guys.
He would have had a 90-yard catch if not for a penalty.
Yeah, on the early in the game.
Yeah.
What about the big dude that chased him down from behind? What happened to Julian Edelman? He better stay in the gym a little more as a linebacker ran him down on that 90-yard run.
No, I think that's more credit to the linebacker, you know, for staying in shape than to Julian Edelman. I mean, he did get 90 yards out of the gig.
Yeah, but you got to finish it off, Scott. Have you ever got so close in life to something and just came up a little bit short?
Yeah, it's happened, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, in college,
when did it happen last?
Yeah, I had an opportunity to take a job in college to be like a stadium broadcaster, and I panicked because I was young and I didn't do it. I used to travel with the Long Island University baseball team, and we were down in Florida, and I did the PA system for the ballpark in Inverness, and they loved me so much they wanted to hire me for a full summer, and I was too young to travel by myself. I panicked and probably passed on a great gig, and I said no.
Ronis, have you ever come up just a little bit short?
Probably, but I can't think of anything right now.
You just want to share.
I finished runner up for a couple jobs. That's what at least what they told me. They could have been lying. They could have been lying. Maybe they just wanted to make me feel better.
Really? Now, did any of those involve like checking IDs at an adult entertainment establishment? Is that what we came up short on?
No, I would have gotten those gigs if I wanted them.
He was going to get the job, but then they checked his criminal record, and he was obviously out.
You know what would be a great – do you think this would be a great job if you were the disc jockey at an adult entertainment dancing place and you were the DJ, I mean, what if Scotty Love, his career went from community college to the disc jockey at the adult
to Wiggles.
I would never want to do that. By the way, Wiggles is closed.
I know.
Yeah.
Scott knows everything.
Yeah. How would
Scott has a list. Like, yeah, that one closed in 2008.
Yes.
I was there the last day. We had a celebration. Scotty Love on set.
I would want to do that,
though. I love Jessica.
Because then,
she has some big curves.
Then the novelty of being at a gentleman's club would just wear off because you'd be working there every day and you get jaded.
Really? I don't know. I don't think I could ever get tired of that. I mean, in terms of naked women in front of me. I'll never get tired of that.
Well, you wouldn't, but just like, I don't know. There's a certain thrill to, like, you know, doing it every once in a while.
Oh, so that's why you like to go once every 2 weeks?
Once every 6 months or
6 months?
Yeah.
Do you have like a calendar and you time it off?
I have an internal calendar.
Alarm
goes off. You have to go now.
Scott, here's the thing. You should get Dom to hook you up one night. I would actually like to go to this. Scotty Love makes his reemergence from the days of community college, and you host some night in a place like that. That would be great.
That would be, playing all the old school jams, you know?
Yeah, we get all the listeners to come.
Get the cameras for the Fantasy Sports Network.
That would be a good idea. I like the way this is going.
We might have to edit some things out there or, like, you know, blur some things, but
they can pay me in lap dances.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
What if we pulled a trick and we had this all set up and then we all of a sudden switched it to Broken Back Mountain Night?
Hey, you thought of that. I didn't.
Scott would probably be like, all right, everybody came to see a show. The show must go on.
Right, see, Scott? See, Tony is into country music, and those Brokeback Mountain guys were cowboys.
Matt Forte and Bilal Paul yesterday. Forte was rumored. I haven't seen pictures of it. I don't have anything to confirm. We have to take the cart to the locker room after the conclusion of this game. We did see a lot from Bilal Paul. We were thinking that Matt Forte's workload the first couple weeks of the season was so insane that there was no way he was going to stay healthy for this. Adam, your thoughts on Paul yesterday getting the lion's share of catches out of the backfield?
Look, I hope it continues. They played from behind. I've had Paul in several leagues because I thought, number one, I thought he was going to play a big part in this offense. That's what the coaches were saying before the year, and then we didn't see it the first couple weeks. It was all Matt Forte. Remember, he had 30 carries in week two against Buffalo. But now we're starting to see them go down a little bit. Now, they were down big against Kansas City, and they were down, not big, but they were down against Seattle most of the way. So we've seen 29 carries the last 2 weeks, but I think this is the alarming part is the receptions. Yeah, the last three games, 2 receptions, 2 and 2. And that's one of the strengths of Matt Forte, is catching a football out of the backfield. So a little surprising that we did see Powell with the 6 catches on 9 targets, and we'll have to wait and see because, like you said, I think we saw that one report. Everyone saw it about Forte being taken on a cart into the locker room for x-rays, but nothing else has emerged from that saying what it is. Is he okay? But it's hard to envision Forte holding up this whole year. I mean, we said it the first 2 weeks. If you could sell high on him, I would have. Again, I didn't love him going into the year. And look, he could still prove me wrong, but I'm just worried that him staying healthy long term, and especially if you're giving him the workload you gave him the first 2 weeks. He did miss 3 games last year too, and this is a guy that has a lot of wear and tear on his body.
Scott, Ryan Fitzpatrick has 9 interceptions in the last 2 games. Any concerns?
He's just warming up.
Brandon Marshall.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Jesus. Any concerns that Brandon Marshall owners could be Scott's got them all lined up.
Yeah.
Any concern that Brandon Marshall owners are going to have Geno Smith throwing the ball soon?
All right, welcome to MetLife Stadium for today's game, and here's the kickoff. P-I-C-K. Pick, pick, pick. That's what they're going to start chanting at the beginning of the games. I don't think they are going to go to Geno Smith because, look, you know, he's just as interception-prone as Fitzpatrick has been over the last 2 games. It's not going to be an upgrade. You know, the Jets paid Fitzpatrick here, and you know, he's not the only one to blame. I mean, the defense was terrible yesterday, and Fitzpatrick got into a spot. The Jets actually came out with like a three tight end power offense that was kind of high percentage, which actually worked on the first drive to get a field goal. But then all of a sudden, because of the defense, they were playing from behind. And you don't want Fitzpatrick playing from behind against the Seattle defense. So I think it's overall as a team that I think they need to put him in better situations. So I don't foresee him being benched, although you know a lot of Jet fans and you know media types were obviously blaming Fitzpatrick. I don't think you can saddle this all on him. And, you know, look at Brandon Marshall. He was against Richard Sherman for much of the day. And until late in the game, he was winning that matchup. You know, he had a nice 41-yard catch. I think yesterday's game proved you don't bench Brandon Marshall against anybody. I was getting a lot of those questions yesterday. Should I bench Brandon Marshall? And I said, look, you know, superstars earn it because they do it against the best, and that's what Brandon Marshall did it yesterday. He had a respectable game against a very good secondary.
There you have it. You're listening to the Roto Experts on FNTSY Radio Network as we get you ready and prepared to finish up week four of the fantasy football season and prepare you for week five. The Denver quarterback situation's in flux as you had Trevor Siemian leave the game with a shoulder injury. Paxton Lynch came in and played pretty well. Going forward, when you look at this quarterback situation, how will it impact Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, Adam?
I don't think it will much. I think Paxton Lynch came in and actually delivered the football well, threw his touchdown to Sanders. And I know Elway loves Lynch. I'm very interested to see what happens here. There was a report earlier this morning that Siemian can miss a game or two. Siemian's not big. That's the problem. I think he also had a shoulder injury in the preseason. It's his non-throwing shoulder, so I guess it's a pain tolerance thing. But I think Pro Football Talk was reporting that he could miss a game or two, maybe two. But who knows? I mean, he's going to have an MRI today, and then we'll have a better idea. But, you know, we've seen rookies already play well this year. Paxton Lynch, I think they wanted to wait, but he might be forced into action. The thing about the Denver receivers is no one really else is getting the football. It's those two guys. It's Thomas and Sanders, and that's pretty much it. So I think that's what you like about this situation is they're going to be targeted heavily.
We also saw the start of Jordan Howard, and he was impressive in the Bears' backfield. John Fox says they're going to ride him. Scott, your thoughts on Jordan Howard?
Look, he looked good yesterday. He was able to break tackles, etc. He was versatile. And I think this Bears offense needs a piece like him. And I think you should at least, you know, plug him in confidently as a flex going forward. We can't overreact to one game. That's what we tend to do a lot in fantasy football. But with so much unreliability at the running back position, you know, you always take it week to week. People always want to say, well, what do you think of these guys for the rest of the season? There's very often a rest of the season answer. It's cliche, which means Joe Pisapia would probably say it. But you got to take it one week at a time.
You got to give 110%.
Yeah, we're actually like having a cliche jar for Joe on Sundays, like a quarter every time, like he says a cliche.
Really? So there's not a lot of substance there?
Oh no, there's a lot of substance, but you know, Joe's analysis said, look, you can't always you know if they're gonna put the nail in the coffin, then you can't put all your eggs in one basket.
Oh, the old nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those things. What's your favorite cliche, Adam Ronis?
I really don't have one. I don't know. Do you have one? Oh, I got one. The sweeter the berry. No, right?
No, don't do it, Ronis.
Yeah, the berry and the what juice, that it? One.
Oh boy!
Bury the
oh
Jew.
Boy! I know what Tony says. Knock it out
what
of the park.
Knock it out of the park. What if you don't have a park? You know, I think we're going to take a quick break because I really want to know what Adam Ronis's cliche is. You listen to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with the King, Scott Angle, Adam Ronis. It's the Roto Experts. Coming up next, we're going to talk about some guys that will be on your waiver wire this week and whether you should pick them up. Stay tuned for more from the Roto Experts.
Cool.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with the King, Scott Engel, and Adam Ronis. You know what? Everything's not the same. There's one major difference in this show now on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as opposed to SiriusXM, where you guys used to listen to us earlier. I got to ask you, Adam, do you know what that difference is?
The studio?
Well, yeah, half right.
You have the call letters?
You have to go a couple floors to go to, no, you have to go a couple floors to go to the bathroom now. Like, are you guys in the shape to get back and forth in time?
Yeah, but, you know, it's like you got to go two floors back and forth, so you got to be you gotta be back in time. Yeah, it'll get us in shape.
You think you'll be all right, Scott?
Yeah, I've been all right.
How is your cardiovascular
It's fine.
Activity.
You know, I've been doing it on Sundays already. It's fine. You know, but it's like I'll just leave and say, look, Joe, I'm going back from the bathroom, load up on extra cliches, I'll be right back.
Ronis, are you worried about Engel's cardiovascular activity?
Yeah, a little bit. I think could be a concern going forward.
I feel great.
It will lower. He'll need to lower his muffin intake.
Look, I'm diabetic, so I need the walking.
Well, he's got a hat, so I feel like I'm working with Dr. Roto again.
Yeah, but Dr. Roto's hat doesn't say Super Bowl champion.
That's true. It doesn't. Yeah. He's a Giants fan, though. He's seen a couple.
He has. They've been recent. Yes, I'll give him that. I got nothing against the Giants.
I do.
I know you. We're listening.
Why do you have against the Giants?
Oh, Cowboys.
I hate them, man.
He hates the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Redskins.
Eagles, Redskins, Giants.
Hate's a strong word.
Okay, despise, disdain. Is that okay?
How do you feel about the Yankees making the playoffs?
I think it's tremendous. Yeah, I'm real happy. Go Red Sox in the American League. Or the Blue Jays.
It's the
Orioles.
In the morning. There he is, the back-to-back defending champion in Intel Wars. And next year, he'll still – actually, they'll probably move him down in the league, Intel Wars.
Yeah, that's probably what happens, right? You win, they'll probably move me to some head-to-head experimental league.
Ronis, have you started working on your menu item at Foley's?
No, I haven't yet. I mean, I did like the – I think triple – brownie fudge sundae, which is appropriate for me, but I think maybe this year we'll go with a main course or a different dish, and maybe we'll lay off the dessert.
What do you think? I think he could be going with a sausage, Scott.
No, but come Rose on, man.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
No
yeah.
way. I don't like sausage to begin with. I'm a bacon guy.
No?
Yeah, I'm bacon.
Oh, really? So that's how you
okay.
Like
come on, Tony.
Form?
You think if I have to pick between sausage and a triple chocolate cake, you know I'm taking a triple chocolate cake every time, man. No contest.
If it's breakfast time, I think a lot for sausage.
No, I don't eat sausage. I'm a bacon guy. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
All right. All right. Wave a wire.
He does like bananas, though.
This I do. Bananas are good fruit. Yeah. Banana, mangoes.
He loves a good banana.
Do you ever just stare and watch at someone eating a banana? It's the most uncomfortable situation in the world.
No, I don't do that. I guess you have experience doing it. Because
it depends on who's eating the banana and how they're eating it. I'm in the middle of you guys.
So is that what you do in Florida? You go banana watching? Banana eating watching?
Yes. I actually
sound like a dirty old
look
man.
For a cherished yes, I look for and cherish moments like that. Like, if you can find someone having a banana, you have to stop and just stare and watch at them because they get so uncomfortable. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's like I could see Tony sitting under a palm tree, like outside of Piggly Wiggly, you know, waiting for somebody to come out with a banana.
wave a wire. I got to ask if these
banana?
Guys in or out on waiver wires this week. First up, Adam, to you, Dontrell Inman, San Diego Chargers wide receiver. Yesterday, he was the focal point in the passing game. Your thoughts on Dontrell Inman?
Yeah, I just dropped this guy this past week in a deep league because I was like, he's really not getting it done. He had 10 targets in the first three games, and now all of a sudden 11 yesterday. So, you know, Travis Benjamin dropped the pass. Tyrell Williams, I think, got banked up. I don't know how much time he missed, but you know, the snaps for Inman, too, were down last week as well. I guess you could look at him in a deeper league. I think they're going to spread the ball around, though. And I still think Benjamin and Tyrell Williams are the two you want to own. But We see that the Chargers are just not a good team. They've actually had the lead most weeks. I don't know what I'm talking about. They haven't been playing behind.
They should be undefeated.
They had a huge lead against Kansas City. I don't know how they lost yesterday. Three turnovers in the last 7 minutes. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was insane watching that game.
So they had the big lead against Kansas City in week one. Week two against Jacksonville, they had a lead? I don't remember.
They won.
Okay, and then Indianapolis last week, obviously, that they also blew the lead in that game, and they were coming from behind, and then the fumble late behind Henry. Yeah, it's unbelievable because, you know, with this schedule, you know, the Saints at home, that's a game you got to win, and then Indy and Jacksonville, we see how bad they are. Kansas City, we don't know what to make of them. They've been look real good against the Jets and looked like they don't belong in the NFL last night. So, yeah, it's been a crazy season for the Chargers so far. So I think Inman in a deeper league with buys, I can't rely on him every week. Like, I don't think, like, you plug him in the lineup now next week because of this game.
Yeah, I was talking to Nando DeFino yesterday.
I said,
you on Tyrell Williams? Like, no, I was on Dontrell Inman. So he'll be feeling good today, dude, during Fantasy Best Friends.
Oh, yeah,
forever.
I can't wait for that one, too. Yeah. He's definitely going to bring that up because I was on Tyrell Williams, and I'm still on Tyrell Williams. But we were doing on our show yesterday at 11 a.m. leading up to kickoff with Nando and Chris Vaccaro, over-unders on Terrell Pryor. He had 118 yards receiving. Chris and I took the under, and Nando thought we were nuts. I would
have taken the under, too.
He had rushing yards like 40. We took the under. He's like, you guys are not fun. And then the passing yards, too. Guy didn't even attempt a pass yesterday.
Well, I wasn't playing the slash roll, but just back to Inman, I feel like yesterday was kind of situational.
Yeah.
And Tyrell Williams and Travis Benjamin are still the top two guys. So I'm not in on Inman.
All right,
I'm not in, man.
Scotty, are you in on John Kuhn?
Oh, no. Don't get me started, man. Oh, John Kuhn yesterday, I wanted to throw my laptop on the floor.
I had Mark Ingram in DraftKings yesterday.
I had Ingram. We have Brandon Cooks in FNTSY Cup League. Like, anybody, Colby Fleener, anyone. And the guy intercepted a pass intended for Fleener. I thought we were done with John Kuhn. Sean Payton is trolling guys again. Sean Payton must hate fantasy.
No, he actually interviewed him a few years ago. He said he loves it.
He's a liar. Because he's done this every year. Who was the guy last year for the Saints that in the last couple of years? Now I'm forgetting because John Kuhn.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. He's number 37.
No, they always had someone.
Who he was.
Yeah, I can't remember.
The other fullback.
Yeah, fullbacks, backup tight ends, third tight ends. Peyton would do it all the time. But, man, I thought we were done with John Kuhn after Green Bay and three touchdowns yesterday. And is there anyone that used him in a GPP, man? Because you know that they suck. If they did. Like, what was his ownership level?
He wasn't owned. Do you guys want to pick him up and wave a wire?
No. Yeah, we saw this with the Packers. He'd have a 2-touchdown game and he'd do nothing for 10 weeks.
Okay.
He's Devery Henderson at fullback.
Here's an argument, because you know how everybody like hates PP? Okay, what about John Kuhn yesterday? And you could tell me, their touchdowns, they count, they help the team. But they were situational where he was placed in a favorable spot. The guy had three carries and two receptions, and he had 18 points.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? Crazy. Next up on the list, Eddie Royal, Scotty. Eddie Royal.
I'll pass.
You know? What about, though, Kevin White being banged up? He left with an ankle injury. Who are they throwing to then? And then not forcing the ball to Austin Jeffrey. I agree with you, like, the first couple weeks, always seen this Eddie Royal. But I think there could be something here.
I cannot, though. Here's why I'll pass. You make all the sense in the world. Knowing his history, I cannot have Eddie Royal on my roster look at the screen and hit activate with any sort of level of comfort, even during a buy issue.
Hoyer's looking for a man, right, Tony? What do you think? I think
I would actually pick Eddie Royal up if I was missing players.
So many times
jump on
before
him.
It has.
We've gotten into this situation too, where there's been injuries on other teams. He's been like, who else do they have to throw to? He's starting to score touchdowns. They don't have anybody else to go to. He's going to step up, and that's when he catches two balls for 14 yards and doesn't score.
Well, he didn't say use him every week.
I can't put him in my lineup.
And
I can't do it.
Scott, just because the last couple of years, Eddie Royal's been a guy that started off quick and then faded throughout the season. You don't want to put him in, and you're scared. I can totally understand that. But what if fantasy baseball fans did that with David Ortiz when his first 4 years were in Minnesota and they didn't work out?
Or they didn't buy into Melvin Upton.
I don't think
this
Eddie
year.
Royal's turning into David Ortiz anytime soon.
Well, we didn't say that. Yeah. Well, there's no doubt about that. But, yeah, I could see, look, in some deeper leagues, I think there's some value here. It's not, you know, 2013 he had 8 touchdowns. 2014 he had 7. Last year, obviously, wasn't much. But if Kevin White left with an ankle injury.
He could score 3 in a game and then do nothing for weeks.
Well, it's probably possible.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it.
Kevin White was soaking up a lot of targets. And he left in the third quarter. We haven't obviously had an update yet. And they're not forcing the ball to Alshon Jeffrey, which I think a lot of fantasy owners were banking on this year. When you drafted Jeffrey, you were like, oh, look at the targets last year. What did he average, like 10 per game? And he's a free agent at the end of the year and still banged up, as always, finding himself on the practice report on Thursdays. But Alshon Jeffrey does not have more than 7 targets in a game yet, which is just insane.
Do you find it a shame that the New York Yankees didn't honor David Cohn in his last day, but actually gave David Ortiz a present?
I think they finally got smart. You should honor Ortiz.
Really?
Come on, yeah.
You want to really set it off? Talk to Ronis about how when the Mets honored Derek Jeter and Mariano and Rivera in their final seasons.
That was sickening. I
hate
that.
That's wrong. The
it
whole
wrong,
David
right?
Ortiz thing was wrong too, right? You don't honor the enemy.
You
mean, we don't have Vladimir Putin. We're going to have Vladimir.
I agree.
I think it's good sportsmanship.
Nah, it's not.
I think it's good sportsmanship.
I disagree.
No, come on.
I disagree.
On.
I think it's respect.
You're the same guy, Engel. You're going to put Vladimir Putin on the Thanksgiving parade.
No, I'm talking about sports, not real life
Brown,
issues
you're
going to
have Vladimir
here.
Putin.
No, can't compare the two. It's much different.
What do you mean? Have you seen sports fans that are more passionate about sports than they are about politics?
In the end, though, it's about sportsmanship. It's about respecting your opponent, you know?
I don't know. I don't like.
I don't have a problem
with
it.
Hate your opponent. I think every game should be like the Buffalo Bills-Patriots pregame yesterday, and that's how a player should go about it.
Yeah, I was at a tailgate yesterday at the Jet game, and some guy says to me, I don't understand fantasy. I just can't do it. It's like, I'm just worried about the Jets winning, and I hope everybody else, you know, in the game. Like, I hate Derek Carr. I hope he breaks his freaking leg today.
How about Brian Quick, Adam Ronis?
Yeah, 2 targets, 2 touchdowns. I can't buy into it. I think I can't invest in the passing game for the Rams, if there's anyone, I guess Kenny Britt. Tavon Austin is getting so many targets but doing nothing with him. His inefficiency is mind-boggling. We know he's kind of a boom or bust play, certainly better for best ball formats, but it's really hard to invest in this Rams offense outside of Gurley for me.
Engel, how about Brian Quick?
Look, Case Keenum is developing a radar for him, but I don't know if we can trust any receiver in this Rams offense. In a 14-16 team league, I can see it. But, you know, I think Kenny Britt's more going to be more regularly involved if you're somehow looking at Rams wide receivers.
Mr. Scott Engel, how about Jeremy Curley of the 49ers?
Yeah, he got involved again yesterday after we saw a pretty good opener. But, you know, not somebody I don't think you can rely on. I think he's a bye week plugger, though, depending on the matchup. I think it really depends on your situation. I would lean towards no, because I can't trust him. But with bye weeks coming up, look, you know, maybe take a flyer. It depends on your situation.
You seem to have a lot of trust issues. Like, there's a lot going on with you not
trusting
players.
Somebody burn you or something?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's why
Monty Ball. It's his fault.
Ronis, what's
by
your,
the way, do you know I wanted Scott's Fishbowl again against a guy that had Julio Jones and Michael Crabtree.
Anything that was a pretty
How did you win?
Well, it's deep rosters. If you have the depth, like you start, it's a super flex league, so most people are gonna start 2 quarterbacks, and then you could start up to, I think if the total lineup is like 11 and there's no kickers, no defense. So
yeah.
If you have
I had Matt Ryan, Ezekiel Elliott, and DeMarco Murray.
Well, yeah, that kind of helps offset it.
Yeah.
So you're the man, Scotty.
I didn't say that.
That's what he wanted to say, and but he didn't say it.
I'll
but
let
he
was somebody else say it. I'll set it up. See,
there you go.
Jeremy, what's your thoughts on Jeremy Curley, Adam?
How do you figure out when to play this guy is the biggest question mark. Like, he had the good week one against the Rams, 7 for 61. Then against Carolina, which I guess at that point we said, oh, it's a tough defense. But we knew that they had issues at the quarterback in the secondary. He was 3 for 29. Seattle, wouldn't you figure maybe this – I guess you don't want to play anyone against Seattle, especially playing Gabbert. He was 2 for 24. And I guess the Cowboys are a good matchup right now. They get no pressure on the quarterback. They can't rush the passer. They do get DeMarcus Lawrence back from a four-game suspension next week. But I guess in a deeper league, bye week issues are coming up. I think four teams are on bye next week. So I could see it. It's just I think he's going to drive you crazy on trying to figure out when to play him, though.
Hey, Tony.
Yes.
What do you call it when a San Francisco 49ers slot receiver burns an opposing quarterback for a big cornerback for a big game?
I don't know.
Curly fry.
What is wrong with you?
That's a Angle, question we've been asking for a while.
What is wrong with you? Yeah, Scott, you got some issues, man. How about Fozzie Whitaker?
Trade him to Chicago, Fozzie Bear.
He had 9 catches yesterday. What's your thoughts on Whitaker on the waiver wire?
Look, Cameron Artis Payne is not doing anything. And, you know, you got Fantasy Best Friends Forever coming up next where Nando DeFino can talk about, you know, Dontrell Inman and Fozzie Whitaker. Fozzie's going to get involved in the passing game because they can't move it with any other runner with Jonathan Stewart out. So, and like we saw yesterday, you know, he can bulk up things at PPR. So I'm okay with picking up Fozzie Whitaker if he's available.
Well, I think yesterday was game flow. They were playing from behind, so that means more Whitaker on the field as the pass-catching back. That's not what Cameron Artis Payne is going to do. So if you think Carolina is going to be trailing, then, yeah, that's going to bode well for Whitaker. And I think we knew Whitaker would be better in a PPR. Even last week in a more competitive game against Minnesota, he had 5 catches for 34 yards. You're just not going to get much between the tackles, so you're really banking on the receptions from him.
We're going to come back from break, and we're going to break down some more waiver wire material for you and get you ready for Monday Night Football. We'll preview the Monday Night contest and make sure you've got everything you need to be successful in Week 4 Fantasy Football. And we look forward to shaping your lives right here on The Roto Experts. We're part of the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. Life Shaping coming up next. Yeah, welcome back to the Roto Experts, a little Prince leading things in. With Adam Ronis, the King, Scott Angle, Tony Zincata. You can get the Roto Experts Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Greg Sussman will be hosting the show tomorrow. Sussmania right here with Ronis and Angle. Scott went to the Jets game against the Seattle Seahawks yesterday. Scott, did you actually ever go to the urinal?
Yes.
And you didn't, and you were okay there too?
Yeah. Like I said, there were a lot of Seattle fans there yesterday. So I was just telling Nando DeFino recently that sounded like CenturyLink Field with about 10 minutes left and the Jet fans heading for the exit with their crying towels in hand.
Wow. So there you have it. The Kings survived the game at MetLife. We're talking waiver wire additions. Terrence West got the start yesterday as Justin Forsett was inactive before the game. We expect Kenneth Dixon to come back next week, but West rushed for over 100 yards. Would you go, Adam, and take Terrence West or Kenneth Dixon or both off the waiver wire?
Man, that is a tough call. I was leaning Dixon a week ago, and, you know, Terrence West is a guy I drafted late in a couple leagues, and I think I cut him in a couple leagues because he was splitting with Forsett. And I said, okay, Dixon's going to return in week 5. He might get his chance to seize the job, but West looked good yesterday, and he's got another good matchup next week against the Redskins. So I guess I lean towards West right now just because he's on the field playing, and we don't know what Dixon's going to look like, but I think both should be owned at this point, and Forsett was a healthy inactive. So I think we saw this coming with Forsett, at least in terms of him being phased out. It was a little surprising, though, to see him inactive, but that tells you a lot about how the Ravens feel about him right now.
Scotty, what about Robert Woods? Your thoughts on the Buffalo wide receiver?
Yeah, I think there's going to be volume there. It's not a lot of upside, but it's volume. This is a receiver that Tyrod Taylor has a comfort level with, and he's going to continue to force the ball to him. You know, there's not much else there. It's like Marquise Goodwin is boom or bust. I definitely, you know, looking forward to Fantasy Best Friends Forever to hear Nando's take on which unknown fantasy Buffalo Bills wide receiver will we scrap out of the heap.
Oh, he already said it a couple weeks ago.
Well, who?
Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush is done.
I know that. I told him that.
I'm saying what wide receiver?
No, he
will
thought
he fish out of
he
the bottom.
He thought Reggie Bush was going to play wide receiver.
But we've already seen Reggie Bush do nothing. So I want to know if he can, you know, take his pliers and fish somebody else out.
I wonder. Let's see. Greg Salas is hurt. Marquise Goodwin. I think we did talk Marquise Goodwin yesterday as an option compared to someone else, and we did not go with Goodwin.
Next up, how about Dallas Cowboys wide receiver situation? Don't know the extent of the Dez Bryant injury. That news changes daily, so that will be a big effect on people. But how about Bryce Butler, Scotty Engel?
Bryce Butler, you know, this was a guy that Adam was actually talking about as somebody to step forward. And I think if Dez Bryant continues to miss time, I think both he and Terrence Williams are going to have an opportunity to continue to do something there in terms of big play roles. Terrence Williams more of a downfield guy, but I think they might look to Bryce Butler more in the red zone when they get near there and they want to throw.
Adam, your thoughts on Terrence Williams and Bryce Butler? Which one would you take, and which one do you like going forward?
I think it's obviously going to depend on Dez Bryant and his status. If Bryant comes back, I don't think either guy is going to do much. If I had to pick one, I actually like Butler a little bit better. I know Williams has been there, but he just makes a lot of mental mistakes. I think you saw Butler almost score a second touchdown, a nice defensive play. So I know it might be surprising, but I actually like Butler a little bit better now that he has an opportunity.
Scott, what do you think about Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Chris Conley?
This is a guy they were looking for to step forward. He's a big target with some speed. Eventually, defenses are going to force the Kansas City to go elsewhere other than Jeremy Maclin and Travis Kelce. I don't see a lot of upside there, but I could see picking him up for use in a bye week in a PPR league because maybe he can get you 10, 11 points.
You listen to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're the Roto Experts. It's the King, Scotty Engel, and, of course, Adam Aronis. Adam Aronis coming off back-to-back Tout War Championships. And my name is Tony Cicotti. You can hear my show prior to these guys from 6 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock a.m. Jake Seeley joins me, the all-in kid. Jake is actually a very honest guy, and he promotes honesty on Halloween. He's not home, but he leaves a bowl out. And he told me today, not only does the kids leave the bowl there, there's been candy left over when he's come back. So that's the neighborhood we should all aspire to live in, Adam Ronis.
That would never happen where I grew up. In fact, if it was me, I would just take the whole bowl and dump it into my bag. I'm not going to lie. Especially if there was like Snickers in there and Goobers and stuff.
What did you dress for as Halloween?
A pimp.
Even when you were like 7?
Yeah, I was groomed at a young age.
Yeah.
You were a pimp at a young age.
Yeah. Pimping's not easy. It's true what Big Daddy Kane said. He was certainly accurate. It's not easy.
Big Daddy Kane.
So when you're a pimp on Halloween, do you go out by yourself or with a group of people?
A group, usually, yeah.
You like that episode of South Park where like Butters is a pimp?
I didn't see that one. Are you dressing up? Like my friends are really getting into Halloween this year. They want to dress up. So I haven't done it in quite some time, so I might have to this year.
What, are you going to go as a pimp again?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Tony?
I've never gone out. As an adult, I've never really gone out, but I usually try to go to the parties.
I know an outfit for you that you wouldn't have to dress up as much. Robert Gisellman.
What?
Yeah.
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, because of
the
hair?
He's got a ponytail. He's got hair just like you, beard just like you. Just throw on a Mets jersey and a Mets hat, and you're Robert Gisellman.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people might not know who he is, though. That's the problem. I'm going to have to – do they even have a jersey with his name on it in the stores? Probably not.
Probably at the Mets Clubhouse store. Yeah.
Halloween's also expensive. It's expensive to get these costumes. I hear the stories people tell. I'm like, geez.
I know that for a fact, yeah.
I'm a big fan of women in Halloween costumes. I think they look great. And I've always wanted to date a woman that won the Bobbing for Apples contest, Scott. I think that would be a woman's attribute.
That's a talent. That's a talent that you just – it's invaluable, man, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm you ever go bobbing for French fries, Tony?
No. No.
What the hell?
I don't think that happens, Adam. I never heard of that.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? Expert
on the MNTSY Radio Network. Tonight's game, we have the Vikings versus the New York Giants. From a seasonal standpoint, if you own Eli Manning, you play him. If you own Odell Beckham Jr., you play him. I'm not sure in a seasonal standpoint. I think that Mr. Shepard is a guy that you put in every week. I actually own Victor Cruz in a couple leagues. He's not in any of my lineups. On the other side, Sam Bradford's a guy I wouldn't be playing in a seasonal league. I would think I would have someone better. Jerick McKinnon I have on a couple rosters. He's not on any active rosters. And, of course, the wide receiver Stephon Diggs is in this one. But from a daily fantasy variety, I like Stephon Diggs a lot better than I do like Odell Beckham Jr. tonight. Odell Beckham Jr. is $8,700 and has a tough matchup against a Vikings defense. Now, the New York Giants secondary is beat up with injuries, and I have Stephon Diggs at $6,100. He's definitely a target in the eyes of Sam Bradford. He would be the only guy that I'm interested in playing at the wide receiver position tonight, Adam, on Stephon Diggs. I could make the case for Sterling Shepard. He's $5,800, but against this tough defense, I wouldn't go that way unless I was just playing a Monday, Thursday, and there wasn't enough wide receivers.
Right, that's what I thought you were alluding to, a Monday, Thursday slate here. And doesn't it get ugly now with us not knowing the status of Carson Palmer and the Cardinals and 49ers on Thursday? You talk about unappealing Monday to Thursday slate with these two games?
Oh, it's crazy. Do you know in the Monday, Thursday slate, there's only one tight end you can use. There should be one tight end 100% owned.
Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yep.
You got the Giants. You can use Donnell or Ty. Arizona doesn't use a tight end. And Celek had a good week last week, but Vance McDonald was out, so you don't know what's happening in San Francisco. He's the only tight end you can use.
That is crazy. You're right. And he won't be 100% owned. There will be someone who is going to try and sneak someone in and hopefully get lucky and get a touchdown because, as you alluded to, trying to decipher who the other tight end to go with, it's really difficult because they're just not used much, and the scenarios you outlined are absolutely true.
Scott, your thoughts on the Giants' backfield? You have Orleans Darkwa. We have our guy Rashad Jennings, which we don't know if he'll be healthy for tonight's contest. And, of course, they're looking for the third down pass-catching back out of that Giants' backfield. What's your thoughts on the Giants' backfield?
Yeah, it's like obviously I'm not going with any of these guys, but with the numbers Minnesota has put up defensively against the run and how strong their defensive line is, et cetera, should get the best of this matchup. Maybe we see some of Bobby Rainey in the passing game, but the Giants are going to have to throw to stay in it.
Giants will have to throw.
Could be a lot of three and outs, though. Could be a lot of three and outs.
And your thoughts on the other side of the ball, Jerick McKinnon, Matt Asiata, Adam, are there any way that you would have these two guys in your lineup? Like I said, I do have Jerick McKinnon on a lot of teams, but I'm not using him on any.
Yeah, I agree. I have McKinnon in one league, and he's not in my lineup this week. I just don't see a big game from either guy. You're really banking on a touchdown or a big play from McKinnon or some receptions. The Vikings' offensive line has been a big problem. It's not only Adrian Peterson. We saw last week that these guys really didn't do much. You know, the Giants' defensive line has been good. They're really banged up in the secondary right now. They could be missing a couple players. So I think where the Vikings, if they're going to do anything, it's got to be in the passing game with Rudolph and Diggs this week.
Scott, how tempted are you when you watch the game to pick up the phone and call up one of your grandchildren and say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
I don't know what you're talking about because I don't have any grandkids.
That you know
of? You don't?
That what? You know of.
My son doesn't have any kids.
Scott, I know. Do you look forward to being a grandfather?
Oh, yeah, of course.
What do you think will be the positive
aspect? I'm looking forward to that as well.
What's that, Tony?
Being a grandfather. What would be a positive aspect of being a grandfather?
Just the bonding, you know, going, you know, sports be a big part of it, too.
Yeah. Adam, yeah. You looking forward to being a grandfather?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what
it, be
you
a
know
dad
the
first.
Qualifications? I was going to ask you, do you know what the qualifications are to be a grandfather?
Well, I'm just looking. I'm fast-forwarding down the road, whenever that may be. You know, probably it's a minimum right now of 14 years. A minimum. Right? Because.
Wait a minute. You haven't had a kid yet, so you're going to have your 14-year-old that's expect to have a kid?
It's possible nowadays.
No, that's not what you want to look forward to.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm said the earliest. If I have a kid.
How could you have a kid and then have a grandkid in 14 years?
Because the 14-year-old.
Because you have to be a 14-year-old father.
Which is possible. He could be 14 years old and have a kid. Why not?
Yeah, it's physically possible, but it's not something you want to happen. You don't want to have your 14-year-old become a parent.
It happens. That's life. But it's not planned for.
Why would you? You talk about looking forward to it, though. Why would you look forward kid being a parent at 14 years old?
I'm painting the picture realistically of possibly what could happen.
So you're going to be such a bad parent that your kid's going to have another kid at 14 years old?
So any 14-year-old or 15-year-old that has a kid, it's the parents' fault? No, it's not.
Is it something you look forward to, though?
I'm just saying the earliest that I could possibly be a grandfather is in 14 years. That's all I said. I didn't say that's the dream scenario.
I hope that doesn't happen for you. 25 years, maybe more like it.
That's a long time, man. Yeah, jeez, I better get started here.
And that's still early to have a kid, too.
I know. And you guys are making me think about life, man. Tony.
Yeah, you should try to work on next Father's Day being eligible.
That is true. So I got I got some time. What is it? It's October. Yeah, I guess this week, and I'll get started.
There you have it. It's the Roto Experts in typical fashion on the morning right here on FNTSY Radio. We want you guys to stay tuned for all the great programming today. You're gonna get Nando DeFino, Jake Seeley, more of Adam Ronis, the King, Scotty Angle. Why go anywhere else? It's all right here. It's the Roto Experts. Suspin will be back tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern. We're out of here. Keep the heads ringing. Keep the heads ringing.
Hey, you sitting over there.
Say what?
You better get up out of your chair.
That's right.
And work your body.